from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Mint here on a football Monday. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. The Bills did fall in their first preseason game to the Chicago Bears, 33-6. They're now going to be in Pittsburgh, though, for the week as they get ready to do joint practices with the Steelers before playing them on a Saturday night at Acrisure Stadium. Saturday night preseason game. What are we doing? Why? Why?
When would you prefer it?
1 o'clock or noon on Saturday, if not on a Tuesday behind closed doors. That'd be perfect, Josh. That'd be perfect. I would love it if it was like 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon and at six, Sal comes on to the station and goes, all right, boys, here's what we saw. That'd be great. That would be my ideal preseason is I watch none of it. It's essentially a controlled scrimmage, and yeah.
I wonder how hard that would be for Sal, or for anybody for that matter, of like having to come on and essentially describe an entire game that no one saw but you. Like,
oh yeah, that could be fun. That could be interesting. I want to get Sal's thoughts on this.
Could you imagine being the one guy or girl, or group of reporter people. Yeah, I guess because it's not just Sal at these games, obviously. There's all these reporters. But imagine they just let in two reporters, and those two reporters have to describe the game to everyone.
Literally, they're going to do the press pool. They're going to let two reporters in. They'll be like, now you got to describe it to everybody else. Have fun.
And you have to do it in...
literally the press pool.
25 minutes, you got to
describe
the
whole game. Didn't they do that in 2021 or something like that?
I think that was just for the press pool. They didn't actually end up having preseason in 2020. I don't think they did that in 21. That's how I want it, though. I want closed-door scrimmages for the preseason at, like, 1 in the afternoon on a weekday. That's the ideal preseason time. You know what the least ideal preseason time is, Josh? Honestly, it's weekday at 7 o'clock. But the second worst is...
8 o'clock on a Saturday, which was Arizona and New Orleans?
Was that who they played?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Arizona played somebody at 8 o'clock.
Well, I mean, that's Arizona.
And it was...
Yeah, I guess... You're right. You're right.
Saints. I guess it is 8 o'clock our time. It'd probably be what?
4 o'clock theirs.
It's not terrible.
It's not awesome.
It's not great.
No.
I just, Well, and Jeremy and Joe were bringing up too, why is there no Monday Night Football game tonight? Like a Monday Night preseason game. Rather than splitting it up over all these different days,
yeah,
bring one of them over to do that Cardinals-Saints game at Monday night tonight. I mean, you basically did it at the same time you would, but on Saturday. You know? Why not just bring it into Monday? Screw it. In the preseason, every single day has a game.
Oh, ew.
In the preseason.
Ew, no. It's the preseason. All of them should be Saturday at 1 o'clock your time.
Wait a second. How many teams? There's 32 teams divided by 7 days. I'm trying to think if you could have like an even amount per day. But that's
no.
If you divide 32 by 4 or 32 by 7, it's 4.5.
The ideal preseason, I'm telling you, Josh.
Here we go.
It is on a Wednesday at like 2 in the afternoon, and it's behind closed doors.
What if they played overnight?
Oh, my goodness. And it's like the NFL free agency from years ago.
But it's closed.
But that's the thing. It's like NFL free agency from years ago where like just like stuff's being dropped at like midnight.
Yeah, or at like 3 in the morning, all of a sudden Josh Allen throws a touchdown pass and Orchard Park erupts at 3 in the morning.
That's not behind closed doors, though.
Fair.
No fans. Press only.
All right, closed doors, but every time the Bills get a third down, you still have the train whistle.
People in Orchard Park, just out of nowhere, the train whistle goes off. It's like, oh, all right. Okay.
We're doing all right. Maybe. We'll see what happens.
They have the
I guarantee you, Bills fans would stay up if a game was at 3 o'clock in the morning.
People like tailgate. They have their fires going off. They see the fireworks go off. It means a touchdown, the third down whistle.
This is like,
now
this is like,
not,
this
now
is like when they select
fun.
A new pope. You're going to have to look for like different color smoke in the sky.
Yeah. Now we're talking. You see how none of this, though, involves a preseason game at Saturday at 7 o'clock at night? It's the worst. You know what's second worst, though? Saturday at 1 o'clock when college football begins the following weekend.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm not thrilled about that. Not thrilled about that at all.
I don't. How much does the NFL think about the preseason schedule? Like, is it an afterthought? Because
the
schedule itself is so much.
I don't think it's an afterthought. I think it is just like, let's make sure everyone's like playing when they need to. They're going to mix teams to have night games compared to the afternoon games because everyone kind of has to do this. The Bills are not the only team having a night game. We just mentioned that Arizona themselves had to have, what, a 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock game. So, mm-hmm. like, they get it. And there's other games, don't get me wrong. But, man, some of these, because it's the preseason. They are exhibition games.
Yeah.
They're not even doing them in different countries. Like soccer, they have their preseason tours. We're going to be in the United States for like 2 weeks.
Or even in college football. Well, I guess it's not preseason, but they play the one
week
game in
zero.
Ireland.
Yeah. Week zero, yeah.
Yeah. They play the game in Ireland, and it's like, oh, that's awesome.
The NFL's that's like, really no, good. You're still going to play at all your stadiums at relatively the same times you would play regular season games.
Yeah.
As punishment for what? I didn't do anything wrong, I don't think. But it feels like a punishment. It is for something I did or we did. As a society, I'm just not a fan of night preseason games. Not at all.
I do like, though, because think about when the Bills usually play preseason or usually play night games. It's like later in the year when it's cold. Like going out on a summer night when it's like warm.
Oh, don't get me wrong. The aesthetic is wonderful.
And your shorts, like you're just hanging out. You don't have to have 18 layers on.
Yeah, the aesthetic's fantastic. Yeah. Until Josh Allen's pulled after a series, and now we're on to Shane Bouchel and Mitch Trubisky, and none of this counts at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's when the aesthetic goes from, like, this is really cool, to, you want to leave at halftime?
When is the first Bills night game this year?
Week 2, Thursday Night Football in Miami.
At Miami. So.
I think it's... Not home great. Would be the next one then, right? It would be week 3.
Oh, that's true. Thursday night. Yeah, that's right. We were just talking about this, like how the schedule is set up and how it's nice that the Bills have like this bit of a staggered schedule at first. And then even after the Thursday night game against Jacksonville,
mm-hmm.
you go to Baltimore for Sunday Night Football.
That's good.
The next week.
That's like, good.
You have 3 primetime games in a row, which is fantastic. And then... You have another one on Monday night, 2 weeks later.
Jacksonville's a weird primetime game, though. Yeah. At home, Monday Night Football. You know what? And this is going to sound very disrespectful. I don't mean it to. But like Jacksonville feels like the last team that should have a primetime game. Like they feel like Thursday Night Football only.
There's a few teams I'd put ahead of them that I would not want to see in primetime.
Well, I know. Well, year to year, sure, that list changes.
Oh,
and kind of
you're
fluctuates.
Saying overall.
I'm saying like legitimately the Jacksonville Jaguars Thursday night only.
Not the Saints?
No, for much of my life, the Saints, like, that's Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. Like, and there are other people I would understand, like, if you grew up in the 70s and 80s or even the 90s, you're like, it's the Aints, baby. Like, that team belongs nowhere in the NFL. But, like, for me, like, the Jaguars, really much of the AFC South Thursday Night Football special. That's what it is. That's the AFC South.
Bad outside of, like, football, the Colts, where you eventually get something great.
With their mustard jerseys that they used to wear.
Color rush jerseys on Thursday Night Football. That was a time to be alive.
I will say, though, the old Jaguars logo they're bringing back this year, fantastic. The leaping jaguar.
The leaping jaguar, yeah, yeah.
It's so good. Yeah. Like, it's just, it looks good. And it takes me back to, like, the early 2000s.
Kyle tweets in, there's a 10 p.m. preseason game this upcoming Saturday, Cowboys versus Raiders. I don't want to be at a bar with my friends watching Aiden O'Connell versus Trey Lance at 11 p.m. See, that's where you're wrong, Kyle. That's what's going to get me to that game.
Because we're watching the demise of the Dallas Cowboys, aren't we?
I don't know. Well, because Jerry Jones then went out with the media again and was basically like, we actually do miss CeeDee Lamb. Like, I think he's trying to pull back some
of his
comments.
Too late, pal. You burned the bridge. You have.
See, I don't know if
you
burned the bridge.
You lit the bridge on fire and soaked it in kerosene beforehand.
I don't think so. They're going to end up paying him. I think it's going to be uncomfortable to get there. But, like, here, look at the Brandon Ayuk situation. He's a San Francisco 49er. Sure, he hasn't been paid yet. He's going to be. All the hoopla that he's going to get traded to Pittsburgh or Cleveland, New England, done. I think he's going to get paid, stay a Cowboy, and they'll move on. And this will be a thing that, like, they, like, joke about in the offseason. It was like, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, a little upset, and then we're fine.
And then until
the only problem with that Cowboys Raiders game is it's 10 p.m. That's quality television right there. You telling me Aiden O'Connell versus number 19 Trey Lance?
He's wearing 19.
I watched a little bit of that Rams game. Little bit. Because I genuinely want to see Trey Lance. I was a big fan of his coming out of North Dakota State. Mm-hmm. I understand he threw a total of like 7 footballs since he was 16. I understand being facetious there, but I get it. He does not look great, man. Number 19 aside, I think a lot of us missed on Trey Lance. He does not look prepared at all. I get his ankle injury in year 2. Definitely did not help him in his development, but he looks just as raw as he did as a rookie. It does not look good at all. And then as well, we are supposed to find out who the Raiders quarterback is at some point this week, I believe, or it's at least relatively soon.
So it's Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, and
that's it. It's those two.
Oh, it's just those
two. It's those two.
I didn't know if
there is a third guy, I think, that's on the roster, but it's those two.
I didn't know if there was someone there like lurking, just, waiting or something.
No. The Raiders, though, they feel like a team that, like, if Dak Prescott's not paid, they're going to go for him. I don't think they'll pay CeeDee Lamb. I'm questioning Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How do you feel about Micah Parsons?
I think they have to pay him, too.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, they have
to pay all three. They should pay all three, technically.
Weirdly enough, actually, like, you look at the three, edge rusher, wide receiver, quarterback, I think they will pay the edge rusher, the wide receiver. I think they are done with Dak.
I think it's time to move off Dak. I think they realize that, and I just...
But they're taking their time about it.
Yeah.
I think that's really what it is. I think they're taking their time to do it. I think it is an uncomfortable conversation to have. Dak Prescott's been their quarterback, their starting quarterback for a number of years here. He's let him do a few playoff games. He's let him do a few NFC East titles, what have you. He ultimately became a steal out of the fourth round out of Mississippi State. I mean, objectively, he has been. But he's also on that fringe with guys like Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins and the other such that, like, the idea of paying them $60 million a year, it stresses you out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it also paying like a quarterback like a Mahomes, like an Allen, a Lamar Jackson, a Joe Burrow, you know, for the most part, that doesn't really stress you out. You know what you're getting. Injuries aside, you know when they're on the field, we're good. You don't get that with Tua. Even with Jared Goff, who got paid this year, and I somewhat agreed with it. Dak Prescott even as well. Like, Dallas was the Miami Dolphins of the NFC. They couldn't beat 500 teams. They couldn't really play away from home. And then when they did get to the playoffs, it was a nightmare. It was a disaster. They are blown out by a young Green Bay team who kind of found their juice a little bit towards the end of the season. Dallas is in an uncomfortable spot that I think is going to wind up with CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons being paid. Dak Prescott's the one that I am just not convinced gets paid.
Yeah.
I think they are ready to move on from him. But let's get Connect to Our Fans brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We did so, of course, with Kyle, but on the original kind of, you know, thesis for today. Yes, it is the preseason, but what do you need to see in game 2 to feel better? John tweets in, I need to see O-line blocking better one-on-one. I fully agree with the O-line point. Fully agree with that point.
Osiris Torrance had a bad day.
Yeah, he did.
Like,
yeah, he
did not like what I saw. It looked like that whole right side. I mean, Spencer Brown had his moments where he was like, okay, but that whole right side looked weak. And I don't know how to feel about it because, again, we talked all about it in the first hour of the game plan and it's preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And But I wonder how to feel about that because he was so good last year.
Yeah. In terms of the PFF grades, Sneaky Joe tweeted this out earlier this morning. Mm-hmm. On the offensive side of things, at the top two, or actually, let's go with the top three. Curtis Samuel at 78.0. Cedric Van Pan Granger is number two at 75.6. Now, again, I mean, his usage and when he was actually deployed, you know, we're into the third quarter.
Yeah, but still.
But that's a good sign to see, especially when kind of I would say the prevailing thought is that he, good chance, becomes the starting center soonish.
And then
I don't want to say next year,
McGovern back.
But potentially,
left guard.
And then Khalil Shakir. Yeah. Well, I think so, yeah. And then Shakir 73 flat.
I think that's fair because talking on him, on Van Pran Granger, I was really excited when they drafted him because it's a center out of Georgia, which I feel like that's a pretty good spot to draft offensive and defensive linemen. I mean, we've seen a lot of defensive linemen come out of there recently, you know, notably, I think Jalen Carter, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're, obviously Georgia's known for all of their great players, but I feel like their offensive and defensive lines are a little underrated, but if he kind of becomes the starter as the season goes on and you can move Connor McGovern back to left guard, I think that's a big-time win.
Yep.
Because Connor McGovern and Deion Dawkins on that left side last year locked it down. They had no problems whatsoever over there. And for the most part, Osiris Torrence was fine on the right side too. Do you think that relied at all on Mitch Morse? How much did he play into a rookie lineman coming in and looking good in Osiris Torrence last year?
I mean, it definitely helped. It is concerning, though. His PFF grade was 41.4. But I will tell you, it seemed like the whole offensive line did not play well. Like, Van Pan Granger's grade, if you want, kind of surprised me.
Maybe it's a little inflated.
And I this is partially on me. I should go back and watch the game and kind of see and get a closer look at him. But for me, it felt like the entire offensive line did not play well. And while Osiris Torrence kind of has the lowest grade of the entire O-line, I think all of them need to play better. I think as well, you're getting a new center that probably is not helping in that sense. McGovern and Allen have been pretty open about, you know, getting into a rhythm together, different sort of snaps and what have you. So I think that is a thing. But I think this also goes into the original point of they didn't really go with much of a game plan. You know, there wasn't like this like in-depth pass protection calls and stuff like that. I think this is more just go to your guys on one-on-one. And this is where I think, to John's point as well, is a good point of they need to block better one-on-one. It's just just at the line of scrimmage being better compared to what they were on Saturday. And you'll probably get a good taste of that on next Saturday. We'll see how much TJ Watt and the like play for the Steelers. I imagine we'll at least get a little bit of a go from their starters. I think game three is going to be more where they shut down everybody.
Yeah, and that's kind of your just like seeing who can make the roster, seeing who can perform the best.
Yep.
I wonder if you'll see stuff from maybe like Keon Coleman still in the third game.
You could.
Just because. Like, why not? I mean, he didn't get too much yesterday. Saturday.
It's going to take some time, I get it.
It throws me off, I'm sorry. But I feel like he might be the one guy that kind of stands out as he's going to play game three.
He's still going. That's partially because he's a rookie. I'm happy they were at least trying stuff in the red zone with him, especially because that seems to be where his bread and butter is going to be, is the 50-50 ball guy, the red zone guy. I did agree with Sneaky Joe's point today. Maybe not necessarily on like the T. Higgins exactly being the 50-50 reception guy, but that's where Keon Coleman long-term scares me a little bit on the Bills, is that he doesn't really have that trait that I guess that you would be convinced will last a long time. Like Stephon Diggs, while I think he's lost a step, I think he'll be able to play, though, a very serviceable level until he's like 34 because he's a technician. He's a route runner. You know, he doesn't rely on incredible speed or incredible strength to get open or to beat guys one-on-one. We're typically 50-50 ball guys. Oftentimes are just bigger, stronger, a little bit faster than these guys. And Coleman, to his credit, though, you know, D1 basketball prospect along with being a Division I football prospect, he's got those abilities. But in terms of getting a second contract, being potentially number one guy or developing into that role, I don't really see it. And that is why I'm getting more excited for a guy like Khalil Shakir, who, while yes, is in year three, he seems to have much more of a more potential to develop into that number one role because of the route running ability. Both of their hands are great. I mean, that's been Keon Coleman's like big grade A thing out of camp, or at least out of the first part of camp. I mean, Brandon Bean outright said it with Jeremy and Joe, which is like he'd get an A+ for his hands up to this point. But Shakir's got those. He is, I would say, faster. He's not Cole Beasley, where he's 5'8". He's like 6 foot, 6'1". And he's already become, I would say, especially by the end of last season, a very, very reliable target for Allen. Very reliable. And you saw, again, in a limited role in which the starters played a total of 2 drives, 3 for 3. And that is where I feel confident in his ability to potentially be a 100-plus catch guy. And TJ tweeted it to me, too, because I said it. You know, Cole Beasley's highest as a Bill was 82. I think Shakir smashes that. And he said, that's a lot of receptions, especially if the game plan is for everyone to eat. And my response is simply to that of, it's everyone eats until the same guy is getting open. And everything out of camp has been him and Kincaid getting opened every play. They are constantly, constantly, constantly getting open. And while I like what tight ends are developing into, I think there is a bit of a tight end renaissance. There's a reason why there's only been 11 total seasons of 100 receptions for a tight end, in which Travis Kelce, I think, owns 3 of them. Just doesn't happen that often. I think it can. I mean, we talked with Greg Thompson at Cover 1. Like he said, even with Kincaid, or even with Diggs on the roster, Kincaid was on pace over like the final, like what, 13 games, including the playoffs, to be a 113 target guy. So you're thinking, all right, get to 120, 125, might be a 100 reception guy. I just, again, because he's a tight end, I don't totally know. Now, Shakir, going to have to do a little bit more work. Last year was his best year out of 2. He had 45 targets, 39 catches. I mean, he essentially caught everything thrown his way, mm-hmm. about as much as you could. His target percentage would have to skyrocket. Because I don't think it's going to be something where like he has 120 targets and he has 100 and like... 12 catches.
Let's say you, I don't want to say double his targets because that's only 90.
Mm-hmm.
But 1.5 times his targets. So, you know, 45 times 1.5 is.
You're looking at like 75.
Math is hard.
But I mean, you're looking at like 70 to 75 targets.
I'm saying get it higher than mm-hmm. 90 because I think it's going to be like 100, 110.
Like, it has to be. But that is such a big jump. And that's where I can understand, like, kind of the fear of it, of just, you know, man, is his target share going to go up that much? And especially, to the listener's point, to TJ's point, like, you know, in an offense that everyone eats, like, are we sure about that? But you look at Shakir last year with Davis and Diggs on the team after a poor camp,
mm-hmm.
just flat out, nothing in the Jets game. And one target in every game for the next 5 before he pops off and goes 4, 6, 4, 2 in the Denver game, not great, but then 4, 5, 1 in the Kansas City game, 1 in the Dallas game, then 3, 4, 6, and then the playoffs, 3 targets, and then 9.
Yeah, and how much is how obviously, like you said, he started off training camp rough. How
didn't even
much,
start training camp off. It was the entire thing was not good.
Yeah, but how much of the newfound trust came from there was one game you listed there where
the Tampa game he went 6 for 6 for 92 yards. Yeah. That was his first
I think
big game.
That's where that trust starts to form.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the kind of that also is where you see the shift in the season where Diggs starts getting less targets and other players as a committee start getting more. Davis yep. is completely irrelevant at that point in terms of targets and receptions. Diggs is still there, but you see a lot from Shakir, Kincaid, and even Cook.
Yep, yep.
So I think that's kind of where you see the shift. And since then, it's been his offense, basically.
At least in the passing game.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that if he somehow duplicates those numbers and just takes the targets and the receptions increases them, but keeps the catch percentage the same way. I mean, I don't care that you don't have a number one wide receiver. That's your number one wide receiver.
And that's my thing is I'm the longer this offseason has gone on and then just the quick look from him in preseason game number one, he feels like he's going to be the number one target for the Buffalo Bills.
If you have a wide receiver that has 86% catch percentage with with 126 targets or something like that, let's just throw a number out there.
Mm-hmm.
126 targets. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have a guy that catches 86% of that, he's going to be your number one. I know. Mm-hmm. I was talking about in the first hour where, you know, if he just becomes Cole Beasley, where he's kind of a fly under the radar guy but gets you a lot of yardage, and you look at his stats and go, whoa, he had good numbers. Where was he all season? He was right there the whole time. You just didn't see him because you had X, Y, and Z in front of him.
Yep. 803-0550 is the number to call. How do you feel about Khalil Shakir heading into the season? Are you kind of with me and Josh here? I personally, I'm hedging my bets. I think he's going to have over 100 catches. I can't wait for this season. Or are you a little bit more leery, especially with ultimately what his target share was last year? I mean, under 50 targets, under 40 catches, could be very interesting season for him going forward. Again, 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here until noon. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Three receivers to the right, one to the left. Trubisky back to pass. Pressure coming. Fires underneath, and it's complete to Shakir for a first down. Gets away from Blackwell and up the sideline. Finally forced out of bounds at the 30-yard line. It's a first down and more for Khalil Shakir.
Chris Brown there on the call on Khalil Shakir's big catch of the game. 19 yards, nothing crazy.
The Shakir train chugs along.
Shakir Hive is alive, baby.
Hey,
I'm excited.
Me, you, and Derek.
Original
members.
I was there on draft day. Derek now is like, I idolized that moment of like me, like they draft him in the fifth round, and I'm sitting in Evan's seat at the time, producing there on that Saturday, and like my arms went up. I'm like, I know who that is. Like, let's go. At the time, I thought he was going to be more like a light Deebo Samuel version.
Mm, okay.
Because at Boise State, they used him in some of the end of rounds and kind of just get the ball in his hands, let him go. I was not prepared for, I think, kind of what he's developed into. We'll get a better pitcher, I think, by the end of this year. But, like, an elite-level slot receiver.
Yeah.
Like, a guy that is a slot receiver, But unlike the Cole Beasleys of the world or receivers similar to him, he's bigger, he's stronger, he's faster. There is that pop playability. I think he had that, 85-yard touchdown against the Jets last year, mm-hmm. just running away from people.
And there was that other play, too. I don't think it was a completion. I can't remember. But he somehow got away over the middle, and Allen threw, a 55-yard bomb, and he almost caught it. But it was
the playoffs his first year. Yeah.
That was. I couldn't remember if it was a completion or not, but I just remember seeing the replay, and I'm
like, wow. It was not. It was initially ruled a catch.
Yep.
Only because I remember, because Bulldog is in here getting ready to do post game. And again, as a founding member of the Shakir Hive, I lost my mind.
I remember too, going back to that, you and Derek were just kind of there on your own little thing, both on Shakir. I was not there on draft day. So I remember not knowing anything about him, reading up on him, watching videos, and then seeing him as training camp started. I'm like, wow, this guy's pretty good. And then we all got to talking about it, and we all realized that all three of us were into the same little fan club together.
Yep, of a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, and now here we are, and it's just, it's just funny how that kind of works out.
That play being yanked away broke my soul a little bit. Yeah. I still haven't fully recovered. I mean, I'm talking smack. in our little, operation that we have here for Bills games, just behind the scenes, I'm going up to everyone going, I told y'all. They kept him on the bench. I'm everyone is my enemy at that point. And then the play gets called back, and I'm like, never mind. That hurt me. That broke my soul. The Jets touchdown repaired what was needed to be repaired. But there's Band-Aids on it. It's duct tape. It's not perfect.
Duct tape fixes everything, though.
For a time. Let's get connected to our fans. We go to the phones. Steve is on the line. Steve, good morning, my friend. How are we doing today?
Hey, good morning. Biggest thing that stuck out to me in that game was just the MVS drop. The camera zoomed in on him, too, and you could kind of see on his face. And I don't know if I'm ready to sign up for the MVS experience this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if maybe we kept one less receiver and, kept an extra tight end. I can see Quentin Morris out there battling for a spot too this year. I just, Claypool and MVS, I'm sure one of them's probably going to make it, but not excited to see him out there this season. Hopefully they don't.
Yeah, it's totally fair, Steve. Thanks for the call, man. I the MVS thing, this is who he is. He has played with Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and now Josh Allen, and this is what you're going to get all the time. I'm not surprised he has not had a great camp, or really he's been one of the few guys that you're just kind of watching, and every report is kind of just been really quiet. And then Claypool, I wasn't as interested in him as I think a lot of other people were, but then the little interest I had died immediately. He's been dealing with a toe injury since mm-hmm. Day two or three of camp.
Which, that just kind of sucks because you don't really know what you had there, at least to this point. He can always get healthy and then come in and burst onto the scene. But at this point, too, in preseason game two and three, how much
is
that really worth?
And to Steve's point, too, I think one of them will make the team. I fully agree.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be Marquez Valdes-Scantling, though, if they had to pick. Because MBS has had moments.
Yeah, he's had.
Recently, in the playoffs, against the Bills, where it's a frustrating year, and then all of a sudden, boom, he comes up with a perfect catch at a perfect time.
Yeah.
And keeps a drive alive, big play, what have you. And they just don't have many field stretchers on the outside.
True, but.
And MBS fits that role almost perfectly.
To be fair, though, I feel like the Bills, in their offense at this point in time, in their wide receiver room specifically, they shouldn't have the luxury, or they don't have the luxury of being able to keep a guy like that on the roster, I feel like. Because you need guys that perform all the time, produce at least, 50% of the time. And I know that sounds low, but that's where we're talking about with MVS here, is if he could produce more than that, then sure, he'll be a producing member of this group.
Mm-hmm.
But anything less than that, and it's like, dude, you got to have more juice there. There's got to be something.
Funny enough, though, I think they're actually in a good spot, though, that they can afford to have him to kind of just look, we know you're not going to be a guy that's going to have six targets in a game, but if you can have two of them and they're going down the field, good. I mean, Ray Davis, we didn't really get to talk about much about him, but we got to see his hands.
He was my pick on Saturday morning for a player that...
To keep an eye on,
of kind of an unexpected, hey, that guy's making a name for himself. Look at that.
He had four targets, three catches. I mean, nothing crazy. None of them went for anything insane.
And to be fair, the run game was broken the whole day.
But, out of the backfield catching the ball, he was more than fine. He was serviceable. And he may take up a role that James Cook himself may lose just because he's also been very inconsistent when it comes to catching the ball.
Yeah. Which,
I, but I think,
honestly,
funny enough, I think they're actually in a good position to keep a guy like a MVS or a Chase Claypool. I don't think they can keep both. I'll be honest there. I don't think they can keep both.
How do you feel about Ray Davis and James Cook kind of splitting that? If Ray Davis all of a sudden becomes a receiving back and you just have Cook run the ball, I mean, I think Cook will still get the majority of the snaps, but if Davis can kind of come in and just be like this guy every once in a while that is in the backfield, could run it, could catch it, defense doesn't know what's going to happen, so could confuse him a little bit, right? I mean, Ray Davis can run the ball, but if it's a very light version of what Josh Allen can do, where Allen, well, we have to protect the pass, but also he can run it really well. With Ray Davis, it could be this, like I said, a very light version of, well, he can run the ball, but he can also catch it out of the backfield and get a good bit of chunk yardage as well.
It'd be interesting. I mean, Cook, though, surprised me as a rusher, to be honest, last year. Especially at Georgia, and that's really the big thing. They took him out of Georgia in the second round purely, it felt like at the time, due to his receiving ability. He seemed to be more of a receiver out of the backfield with Georgia. Where last year, he finishes fourth among running backs in rushing. Now, with that being said, we are not in the heyday of running backs anymore. We are very much outside of it. The leading running back last year was Christian McCaffrey, under 1,500 yards. After that, it's Derrick Henry and Kyren Williams, both under 1,200. And James Cook himself is also under 1,200. And so that's the thing, is like, how much are you really going to get out of your running backs? Now, with that being said, Cook started 13 games. They really went to the running game in the second half of the season once Joe Brady took over. I think there's going to be a little bit going back to the passing game, a little bit more of like the short passing game to kind of build into, you know, the run game. It's all going to be kind of used, it, you know, together. But in terms of taking him away in the passing game, not fully, because there is still that big playability out of him. But man, at the end of last year, it felt like once a game, there was a big play that Cook just drops a wide, and it's not like it's a tough catch. It's a wide open catch that he drops.
I mean, the moment that sticks out to me is the Denver game. I remember
also
seeing,
for me, it's the Eagles game.
Okay. I just remember, I mean, this wasn't, I don't think it was a pass, but he fumbled that ball in like the first play of the game. And it just, I was at the game and it just took the air out of the stadium. You could hear a pin drop. And it's plays like that where it's the routine, you know, start of the game, you're just getting going. And then all of a sudden, boom. What just happened there?
Yeah.
Why did this happen? Right? Like,
and these are drives that should end in, like, I mean, walk-in touchdowns. That the Eagles one, I know definitively ended in a field goal. I think the Denver one did as well.
I don't think, no, the Denver one did not.
The Denver one did not, okay.
Because it was a fumble. And,
okay, yes,
and
yes.
Denver gets the ball back on, I think, Buffalo's 42. I think, I'm going to have to look here. I think Denver ended up getting a field goal there.
But it's just, you know, these were close games.
And that's also the start of a game, too. Like,
yeah.
That's like you don't want to start off a game.
Oh, that's right. He fumbles and then McDermott sits him down for a while and all
yeah.
of a sudden.
And then he's
it.
Just like gone.
That's got to stop, too.
And the run game has just disappeared. It's like, okay, cool. That's not great. But yeah, it was the fumble. It was the first drive, the first play. Allen passed
it
to Cook, and Cook fumbles it. It's recovered on Buffalo's 25 or 29, I'm sorry. And then it ends in a field goal because the defense stood up and, you know, oh, and there was a penalty on the play or a penalty on the drive for Denver as well. So ultimately it only ends in a field goal, but it just affected the whole game in what ended up being a loss.
It turned in you're not chasing them necessarily right away, but it was bad vibes. Again, they ultimately sit Claypool,
you know what
Cook for a little while there too.
You know what happens the next drive for Buffalo? Interception.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was back-to-back turnovers.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And then you don't score a touchdown until the second quarter when you're already down 9-0.
That's not great.
Yeah.
That's my thing. And that's why I'm not really married to James Cook as this team's like running back going forward. Too many plays, it feels like, for me are left on the cutting room floor, and they shouldn't be. These are routine plays. Fumbles, I get, are going to happen. I do think the Bills, namely McDermott, can be a little aggressive in terms of sitting guys. It's the drop touchdowns. It's the drop big plays where no one's around you. You were schemed open. It's perfect. You got the exact look you wanted. And it's just concentration. And then it sounds like from camp, he's had fumbling issues, he's had dropping issues, and it's just like, come on. Like, this is why you were drafted in the second round. I hate to bring that up, but it's like, that's great that you were fourth in the league in rushing. It wasn't even like you had 1,300 yards. You know, you had like a little over 1,100. Mm-hmm. This is not the heyday of running backs. Like, it's a nice stat to have, but he also scored, what, 2 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Like, Allen had most of them. They didn't even really trust him as a red zone back. They trusted Allen to do that.
Bit of news here from Ian Rappaport. The Atlanta Falcons are hosting Pro Bowl safety free agent Justin Simmons.
Is he going to find the side somewhere?
He's visiting today and tomorrow, and he just recently visited with the Saints, too, apparently.
Let's sign somewhere. Let's get this done.
Yeah. Also, Rappaport, notes this as Atlanta having injuries at the safety position, and Simmons is a potential answer. I can think of another team that has some injuries at the safety position.
I still think that the Bills are kind of slow rolling at just keeping guys healthy. I don't think they have – a part of me is thinking, especially because they did not go out – or they could have, and maybe he said no, but Micah Hyde's not on this roster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a feeling to me that we just need bodies. We don't need someone coming in to fill out a role for the rest of the season. I think that's what – you're not bringing Justin Simmons just to be a camp body.
No, not at all. But – I would like to see Justin Simmons on this team.
Of course.
I'm excited about the prospect of Cole Bishop. Mike Edwards, while his numbers are great and he's been on Kansas City, it's kind of yet to be seen what that's going to mean.
Yeah.
Justin Simmons, is a bona fide,
very
good
player.
Safety.
Towards the end of his career, but very good
True.
Player.
But you've done that before. You've gone out and gotten veteran safeties before, and it worked out really, really well. So again, it's probably a money issue at this point, I feel like,
I want to know.
Other teams probably would have signed him at this point.
I want to know so bad because he's been out there.
Unless he has
multiple teams' fan bases have had him as like one of their favorite free agent pickups, and he's just been sitting there.
Unless he's super picky about where he wants to go,
could be that as well. Like, could absolutely be that
he probably wants to go somewhere. But I was going to say where he wants to win now, but the Saints are not.
It could have gotten to a point though where it's like, I've waited too long now. It's just, let's get on a team.
Right, that's true. But at the beginning, it could have been, I want to go somewhere where I can win now, and all those teams didn't have money.
Other real quick injury news that I meant to get to a little while ago, but is Dolphins linebacker Jalen Phillips. He is being removed off the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list. This is after 8.5 months of recovery from a torn Achilles. That is an incredibly fast recovery. We'll see how that goes. The Bills do, of course, take on the Dolphins Week 2 Thursday Night Football. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here for one more segment after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Durant, back to Curry, dancing on Batum, over the double team. Davis with a rebound. Up ahead for Booker. Exclamation point.
He's a bad boy. Night, night.
As the French would say, bon nuit.
Oh, look at you. Yeah. Cultured.
Yeah.
That is the United States men's basketball team. They win gold over France.
Goodbye.
The women's
Good
did
night.
As well on the
gold
final
medal.
Day of the Olympics. So 2 gold medals. The women's, I think, have now won 8 straight gold medals.
Yes.
In that sport, the most consecutive for any sport in the Olympics. That's amazing. To me, though, I've said it a
couple
few times.
Couple inches away from possibly losing that game.
It's true. But to me, it's far more of a story if they lose. Look, I'm rooting for the United States. I simply don't care. It was a great game against Serbia. The French game, Steph Curry had an iconic moment. It's far more of a story if they lose. They are so significantly better than any other nation.
Yeah.
Even though the European, like the top end NBA players are European, there is just simply no depth. There's no depth on those teams. Jason Tatum is sitting there with, I think his mom was upset by his lack of playing time. He is sitting on the bench. Tyrese Halliburton, who's an NBA All-Star, straight up put up on his Instagram with the gold medal going, when you get an A-plus on a project you didn't work on.
Yep.
That's your depth.
Yeah.
It's far, far, far more of a story if they lose. We're at a point now of like the Russian hockey teams in the 60s and 70s. Like, it's a story when you lose.
Mm-hmm. I'm there with that. I think I have been for
incredibly
a while too.
Incredibly entertaining games on the medal rounds.
Oh yeah, for
very,
sure.
Very, very entertaining.
But I mean
games.
Everything up to that point is just kind of like, oh, look, they won again. Cool.
Barely cared about the exhibition games. There was like concerns about like their rotation and how they looked against teams like South Sudan. I'm like, doesn't matter yet. It's exhibition games. And then they turned it on.
Overall, United States, 126 medals.
And they tied with China in terms of gold medals at 40 each.
The United States had the most gold medals, I believe. Yeah.
The United States had most gold medals. No, I'm just kidding. They technically were tied with China. But they had 44 silver, next closest China at 27. 42 bronze,
yeah.
Next closest is Great Britain with 29.
But that wrapped up over the weekend. A lot of fun. Now we get to wait four more years. But the next time the Olympics is here, or at least the Summer Olympics, it will be in Los Angeles, which should be a lot of fun. Of course, the 1984 iconic LA Olympics. Hopefully we'll get some reminiscing from that. It's going to do it for me and Josh Schmidt today. We'll be back on tomorrow as the Bills begin their joint practice with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more...
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Durant, back to Curry, dancing up a tune, over the double team. Oh! It's a golden dagger!
Night!
Curry, unconscious in the fourth. Davis with a rebound. Up ahead for Booker. Exclamation point.
He's a bad boy. Night.
As the French would say, bonne nuit.
Oh, look at you. Yeah. Cultured.
Yeah.
That is the United States men's basketball team. They win gold over France.
Goodbye.
The women's as well on the gold final medal. Day of the Olympics. So two gold medals. The women's, I think, have now won 8 straight gold medals.
Yes.
In that sport, the most consecutive for any sport in the Olympics. That's amazing. To me, though, I've said it a
couple
few times.
Inches away from possibly losing that game.
It's true. But to me, it's far more of a story if they lose. Look, I'm rooting for the United States. I simply don't care. It was a great game against Serbia. The French game, Steph Curry had an iconic moment. It's far more of a story if they lose. They are so significantly better than any other nation.
Yeah.
Even though the European, like the top end NBA players are European, there is just simply no depth. There's no depth on those teams. Jason Tatum is sitting there with, I think his mom was upset by his lack of playing time. He is sitting on the bench. Tyrese Haliburton, who's an NBA All-Star, straight up put up on his Instagram with the gold medal going, when you get an A-plus on a project you didn't work on.
Yep.
That's your depth.
Yeah.
It's far, far, far more of a story if they lose. We're at a point now of like the Russian hockey teams in the 60s and 70s. Like, it's a story when you lose.
Mm-hmm. I'm there with that. I think I have been for
incredibly
a while too.
Incredibly entertaining games on the medal rounds.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Very, very entertaining.
But I mean,
games.
Everything up to that point is just kind of like, oh, look, they won again. Cool.
Barely cared about the exhibition games. There was like concerns about like their rotation and how they looked against teams like South Sudan. I'm like, it doesn't matter yet. It's exhibition games, and then they turned it on.
Overall, United States 126 medals,
and they tied with China in terms of gold medals at 40 each.
The United States medals had the most 84, gold medals. I believe. Yeah.
The United States had most gold medals. No, I'm just kidding. They technically were tied with China. But they had 44 silver, next closest China at 27. 42 bronze,
yeah.
Next closest is Great Britain with 29.
But that wrapped up over the weekend. A lot of fun. Now we get to wait 4 more years. But the next time the Olympics is here, or at least the Summer Olympics, excuse me, it will be in Los Angeles, which should be a lot of fun. Of course, the 1984 iconic LA Olympics. Hopefully we'll get some reminiscing from that. It's going to do it for me and Josh Schmidt today. We'll be back on tomorrow as the Bills begin their joint practice with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.